from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
EW to his friends. Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Brad. On this gloriously sunny day, our special guest is Martin from Bratislava, and we've got Lee, and we've got Rachel, and we've got Eric over in the beautiful town of Pop Brad. Well, you should come on holiday. It's good. Part one was entirely talking about Pride 2014. We're going to go on to talk about a number of consumer issues and various other bits, and as we were saying before the break, you know, stand your ground.
Right.
What we were saying, Martin, stand your ground.
Yes.
And it's something that English and Slovaks don't do. And I don't understand that.
I'd say they don't do it enough.
Yes. Yeah.
But they don't do it enough. Yeah, we can do more.
Exactly.
The Brits give up.
They do. Now Lee's going to tell us a story about BT because he called me the other day and said, "Beat Eric, BT says my line's perfect." So I got Lee to do some tests. It's very dangerous when a company like British Telecom tells a consumer like Lee, who, being honest about it, I wouldn't let him put a fuse in a plug.
Nah.
Very kind of you.
But I'd let him write my homework for me.
Yeah, I'd let him write my homework. Yeah, that'd be cool. And BT were giving him a big load of old rubbish. And when we looked at it, I said to Lee, "You be my eyes, correctly?"
Yes, sorry.
Yes, thank you.
It's just BT, apparently.
Yeah, keep up.
I just have to bring a news update.
What's that?
BT have just arrived at my front door.
Really?
Speaking, they are there. I'm not bringing them in, unless you want to speak. Now we don't. No, he's only a delivery man. No, that's all right. But yeah, BT have actually completed what they promised to do on the air at this moment.
Right, because BT was saying your internet was perfect.
Well, yeah, basically.
And I said, rubbish.
You did?
Yes.
Yeah. They still don't agree with you, though, by the way.
They don't?
No.
But funnily enough, they've now changed their mind. Ish.
Yeah. They've changed their minds completely, but it then gets worse and worse after that. The initial is now sorted by that knock on the door, but things have grown like Topsy into absolute ludicrousness.
Right.
So would you like me to fill you in with the details?
Yeah, but not too long, because we've only got half an hour left.
I can do it in 27 minutes. very quickly, in a nutshell, I pay £16 a month for my all singing, all dancing, all downloading, all uploading, all telewatching, unlimited internet stuff package of BT. And about a week ago, my internet signal started to go rubbish, for want of a better word. So after putting up with it for a few days, thinking, you know, it could be the atmosphere, it could be all sorts of things, we contacted BT. The first contact was in Delhi. No reason to particularly say there's anything wrong with contacts in Delhi, but it would be nice if British Telecom had an office in Britain where you could contact them. So anyway, they apologised profusely for the problems we were having, checked our line as Eric had done, using exactly the same method as Eric had done, and my ping value was perfect, and my upload speed was 0.33, which is exactly what Eric had discovered. Mm-hmm. They said that was more than acceptable, that was perfect, therefore I did not have a problem with my internet. I pointed out, as I was talking to them, that little green wheel at the top of my internet thing was still spinning and had been since we started this conversation. So with they got in this loop of me saying my internet is rubbish and doesn't work and them telling me that it did. So I went away hoping that actually, because they'd messed about with it, maybe something would have improved. 4 days later, I was still phoning them up and saying, look, this is rubbish. We've been into Calcutta this time and Calcutta apologised for the problems we were having and then told us we didn't have any problems. So ultimately, I did something which generally people can't do. I phoned the press office.
Uh-oh.
The press office. And the press office actually took on board what I was saying and then told me that actually they agreed with the other people that I didn't really have a problem because the ping value and the upload value was fine, and that actually they, this is their press office telling me, I've been a journalist all my life, they said, I don't really think you've got a story there. All you're talking about is an intermittent problem on your internet. I said, no, that isn't what I'm talking about. And we had a big row and it all went on. Anyway, then, because I caused so much trouble and had upset so many people, and I'd actually gone to, I've forgotten his name, the chairman, oh my God, I've forgotten his name, the chairman, David Rake.
Yep.
Sir Michael Rake, the chairman of BT. I actually got through to his office, and all of a sudden things started to happen. People started phoning me up and apologising profusely and agreeing that my internet connection was rubbish. That wasn't the word I'd find out the time I was using. It was rubbish, right? And then they said, of course you can have a new hub. I'd forgotten to tell you about this because it was 3 weeks before I got my new hub anyway. So I said, send me a new hub now and that'll probably cure it. They said, we can't send you a new hub because your contract's not run out. It's got 3 weeks to go. So that was it. Anyway, so Michael Rake and his office decided to send me a new hub. And that's what just arrived on the doorstep as we were creating this show. Mm. Now, I'm going to put it there. The problem I have now is that I told BT that we were going to run this story on this show, particularly because of the tenets of the show and because Martin's here and everything, and they will not reply to me. And now I can't get hold of them because BT's main switchboard is constantly engaged. I don't know if I can hide it from me. I don't know if
that's right. So look, at the moment, which, because I know what's coming next, you've got to take this device out of a box.
And you're going to help me put it together.
I knew that was coming. knew that was coming.
Online.
Absolutely. But there's an interesting point for Martin here as well. Because Lee will remember this, and Martin probably won't. A year or so ago, there was a big argument in Slovakia with... which was shared with us by some listeners who were customers of ultimately Deutsche Telekom or T-Mobile.
Yeah,
we all know the company, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they were going to charge the Slovak citizens, either they'd got to take a modem to pieces and put some new software in it, or Deutsche Telekom's people were going to charge them €50 to send an engineer out. And I said that was wrong. So I got hold of the press office in Bratislava, who basically told me the same story as Lee got, which was, go away, you idiot.
Yeah.
Now, Martin...
In your case, you might have been right.
Probably would.
No surprise.
Unfortunately, I'm an Eric. So the next stop was Deutsche Telekom's head office in Germany. And I got hold of the press office there. You would be amazed what happened. You can't believe what happened next, Martin.
What?
The citizens of Slovakia, inside an hour, had people... One of our listeners phoned up and said, Eric, they're here with a new box, gratis, free.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
And what happened was, there was then a national policy of updating the old modems that they've got lying around, and our listeners were all the first people. I gave them a list of names, and they were the first people to actually get a new modem for nothing.
Very nice.
People power!
Let me finish this, because this is very important to what you've just said. The question that I've left with BT, which they cannot answer because their telephone system's broken down and they can't make a phone call, right, is dead simple. It's why, when they believed I was just a general member of the public, was I told that there was nothing wrong with my internet connection, mm-hmm. and I was fobbed off, and I explained to them how many hours I'd spent on the phone and that I am sending them a bill to cover the time that I've wasted on doing this. But at the moment they discovered that I was a member of the great unwashed British press...
Mm-hmm.
Did they solve the problem?
Lee.
No, but the question
is, you've got to do,
how
you've
can
got,
other people?
No, you've got to do a pride job here.
A pride job?
Yes, because the importance of Pride 2014 in Bratislava is simple. We have a calm, controlled statement of fact.
Well, there you go. You're done right there.
Am I right, Martin?
First of all, you big banks can't.
So now what we do is we do it again. So what we do is we say to the listeners, wherever they are, and Martin can grab this for Parliament as well.
Right.
What we do is we say, we are those nasty, horrible consumer journalists. That's Lee and Eric.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
I wouldn't ask members of the public to do that, though.
No. And what we're going to make is the standard offer. If you've got a genuine consumer problem...
Exactly.
Come to us, and we will fight it for you.
We've done this dozens and dozens, probably hundreds of times, actually, over the past few years. Generally, we've won.
Yes. So if you've got a consumer problem, for example, the reclamation issue in Slovakia just drives me nuts.
Right.
Yeah, because it is in breach of EU law. And if you've got a problem like that, come and talk to us. Come, give us the information. It's dead easy. You can either get hold of us via the radio station you're listening to, they will forward to us, or studio@rti.fm, we will get it. If you're telling us a load of rubbish, we will completely drop you. So don't give us silly things, because we're wiser than that. But if you've got a genuine case, as the young lady did in Pop Rad with the internet, which is how it got started, or Lee, or the people that have had problem with Bank of America, we've taken on Quick Fit Tyres, we've taken on Tesco's before and won, all sorts of people. We will fight your case for you because we're big, we're ugly, and we've got a big mouth.
Well, Eric's ugly and big. I'm not ugly and big. can
I just go with the third part?
Yeah. But the bottom line is, Lee, you've fought your corner. You've gone to the chairman's office. We can do that, and we will continue to do that as the consumer programme for Europe.
May I just add on to that? As members of the public, please don't go to the press office because you will get nowhere.
Mm.
And don't pretend to be journalists because they will suss you out immediately.
In seconds.
But you can go to the chairman's office. There is nothing stopping you doing that. Leave the call centres alone. Forget about the call centres all over the world representing British Telecom. Go to the chairman's office, write to them, email them, phone them. And one last thing that I want to say to British Telecom, because your whole telephone system's broken down, maybe you should pay your bill, or maybe you don't have to pay a bill. I don't know, but we can't get through. But I would say that British Telecom, your ping really pongs.
Yay!
I like that indeed. Anyway, staying with the consumers, last week we sent Tesco's a rather nasty email saying to them, please would they explain to us how they managed and looked after the human rights of people working as farmers and their families in Iran. And there's a reason for this, Martin. I don't know if you know about this.
You told me 2 days ago.
I did, didn't I?
Yes.
Darn it. Darn it. So anyway, I've had one email back saying sorry because they forgot to put Mr. in front of my name.
Right.
They just called me Dear Wil... No, Hi Wiltshire.
Oh.
That was a bit off.
Ooh.
I thought that was very rude. So I did get an abject apology from them for doing that, and they're now working on the response to my email. I did email them yesterday, boys and girls, and say, you've only got 24 hours left, guys, to come up with some answers, or I will tell the planet that you haven't got an answer. And currently, I haven't got an answer.
Mm. It is despicable that organisations of this kind of gigantic size treat the people who keep them in business in the way that they do.
Exactly. And we move on to something else that is not just applicable to the UK, but it's applicable especially to Slovakia. That was actually the time when I last took Tesco's to task over something. There is a great issue when you're buying technology. And this big issue, Lee's flagged it up as something to do with the pound. It's not, actually. It's to do with buying power. And when you buy technology... products in the US, including things like Xbox One, iPads, and all sorts of other things, are much cheaper in the dollar market.
That's right.
Yep. Mm. Now, Martin, correct me if I'm wrong, we get parcels from America, don't we? In Slovakia.
Yes.
We do,
yes?
Yes. Okay. Lee, do you get parcels from America in England?
Sometimes.
Yes.
Why?
Rachel, same question to you. Do you have parcels coming from America? You're an expert.
I am an expert, actually, and yes, they're plentiful.
They're plentiful. So, if you want to stop this crazy pricing structure around the world, where in Slovakia, Martin will back me up on this, it was always lots of people, they would go to it, you're going to England, can you get me a computer, please?
That's right.
Because it was like half the price in England as it was to Slovakia, correct, Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the internet now. You can go to a shop and you can buy things at dollars and have it sent to Slovakia.
Yeah, but if we should keep these legal, you still need to pay the tax.
The tax.
You gotta pay duty.
Yeah, but even so, it's not going to be twice as much as it is in America.
Well, the price, the difference in the prices is not that big anymore. I mean, it usually covers the tax and the duty that you need to pay. I mean, this is the reason why the Transatlantic Treaty is about to be signed between the European Union and the United States.
Now that's where it's going to change a little bit. Yes, I agree. Yes. Well, actually, you can explain that.
Well, What basically people are trying to do, both on both sides of the Atlantic, is to create a common market connecting the market of the European Union and the market of the United States of America.
Yes.
Which, of course, if we talk about things like prices, would be very nice, because we could buy Apple computers for the price that we are buying in New York right now.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there are many concerns, because if you create a common market, then you need to create common environment for the people who are playing on the market. And if you think about the power of the multinational corporations that are trying to find their place on those markets, and then if you think about the power of a country like Slovakia, if these two are getting into a clash, then many times it's the corporation that is much higher in the conflict, because they have a budget for lawyers in the size of the budget of Slovakia.
Yes.
So yes, we can talk about the price differences, and then we can talk about how we are actually trying to protect the consumers on our own market, and if the protection of environment and consumers and entrepreneurs as well on the market is the price that we are willing to pay in connected with such a huge market like the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there is one thing which people don't understand, and I've said this so many times before. You know, it's okay for people like Lee and Rachel, Australia, England, but when you've got the same product and you want to bring it to Slovakia, it actually does cost more money. And the reason it costs more money is somebody's got to recode it to be in the Slovak language.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it costs
money.
Sorry, that's the way it goes. It costs money.
True.
And that is one of the small problems that you have, although it has to be said, if you buy the right operating software from Microsoft these days, it does come complete with every language in it. So it's not quite so bad. But, you know, you have to allow for shipping costs, you have to allow for the service operation, the language operation. There's so many things that have to be considered when you're coming from America to, especially Slovakia, because it's, 5.5 million people. So there is a different rationale there, isn't there, Martin?
And plus to it, you need to pay for actually building of the structure of the company in the new country.
Yes.
So, everything costs money, and as a member of a liberal party, I would leave it up to the market to solve that out.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But then we need to think about how to, if the market is already working, we need to think about how to make it faster, how to make it healthier, how to allow people to start their own little businesses faster, so they don't need to fight with the bureaucracy all the time.
Oh no! Now that is a Slovak one for sure, isn't it?
Yes.
I can tell you, in comparison to England, if you want to do something, it starts by cutting down a rainforest, making lots of wood, which you turn into paper to get 29,000 people to sign on the back and stamp it, and then you can do it. The other funny thing in Slovakia is that whilst you have to go through that, people will actually talk to you, which is unusual because they don't do that in England.
Can I tell you a very funny story about something like that happened to me last time I was in Slovakia? It's only brief. Well, this is the truth. And Martin, I'm sure you'll appreciate this. I inadvertently ripped a banknote in half, the Slovak currency. I ripped it in half.
That was talking when you were talking about Krona, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, this was just before the euro came in. And I presented it. It wasn't ripped completely in half. It was just hanging off. In Britain, that would be perfectly acceptable. Might sneer at you a bit, but that was it. The person I was trying to buy something off said they couldn't accept it, which was, fair enough, and they were polite about it. But they told me I had to go to the police, take it to the police first. So we went dutifully went round to the police station. They looked at it and said, yes, this is a bit damaged. You must do something on it. And, so they told me to take it to the bank. I took it to the bank. Right. I went into the bank. The bank teller took it off me and said, I would have sold this for you. Please. And I went to see the bank manager. They came back. They took my name and address. They did everything like that and where I was staying, why I was in the country. And then when it was all done, they got a piece of sellotape and sellotaped it back together for me.
I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Welcome to Slovakia.
It was lovely. It was quite.
And do you know what? We do the same with euros.
Yeah, I know. I don't believe it. The only thing I would say to you, Martin, is please a little bit less bureaucracy when we're trying to encourage foreign investment.
I mean, that's what we are trying to do. But you need. I'm sorry to say this, but you need a lot of bureaucracy to make place for corruption. this is as simple as it gets.
I'll tell you what, I've heard some stories in the past week, not about Slovakia, about other further Eastern European countries, I don't mean the Ukraine, which would make you think, gosh, Slovakia, what a beautiful country.
And that's true. Yes.
So it's on both sides.
You can't compare it to Ukraine. No.
No.
Definitely. No. But the situation right now is that any money that comes from abroad is already seen. Someone is already looking at the money at the 15% of the edge. He's thinking how to get those 15%. And it doesn't really matter whether it's a EU fund or investment of someone coming into Slovakia. The mentality of many people is still to get as much money out of it as possible. And
I kind of agree with that, Martin, but by the same token, compared with when I first came here over 10 years ago, the difference between then and now is dramatic.
Of course.
It's massive, actually.
It is. I've witnessed that, as well.
Yeah. One of the reasons is that while we were in the government from 2010 to 2012, a law was passed that says that no agreement between a state and someone else is valid unless it is valid before it is public on the internet site of state.
Yeah, it had to go out to like a fully open tender, didn't it?
Mm.
So if you sign a contract with a company that will give you, that will sell you something, or you are selling to it, or anything, the contract is not valid until it is public.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this really solved a lot of problems, because if the general public is able to look at every single piece of paper that the state is actually signing, there's a much broader public control.
Right. Because we're right at the end of part two already, we've nearly finished the programme.
Are we doing any news this week?
No. what I'd like to do, because we've got a couple of minutes left, Martin, there are so many plus points to coming to Slovakia, and I'll give you one of them. One of the plus points I found when I first came here, which was a complete shock to the system, is if you give a Slovak a gram of knowledge, they will give you a kilo's worth of work back, because
mm-hmm.
They are so hungry to learn,
mm-hmm.
and they continue to be hungry to learn. And that's one of the great assets that the workforce has got in Slovakia, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yep. And there are many other wonderful reasons to come to Slovakia. So now you've got to put your tourist board head on and tell people, why should they do business with Slovakia, Martin?
Because we work hard.
Yes, true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the Slovak people are used to work hard, and they always have been. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at places like Vienna or Budapest in the old times, the buildings were built by Slovak guys. Yeah. Even New York was built by Slovak guys and Irish guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not only builders. I mean, if you look at Asset Company, is one of the biggest IT companies in the world,
yep.
and the base is just around the corner here in Bratislava. So Slovak people are willing to learn very fast. We are actually quite clever, and we work hard.
Mm.
So if you find the right people in Slovakia, if you drink beer or two with them, you'll get... First, you get very good friends, and second, you get very good people to work with.
Yeah, get to know them is the important thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, get to know people. That's the most important thing. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that was a completely different postcard from Pop Rather Normal, courtesy of Martin, which we thank him for immensely, because he's been very poorly. Thank you, Martin. Thank you. Round of applause.
Thank you.
We'll be back to news next week, but we've already got to say goodbye, which is just... terrible, really. We could have been here for hours and hours. So anyway, normal service resume next week. Time to say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Lee.
May I just say, very quickly, another reason to come to Slovakia is because it's a glorious, grand, wild, outrageously beautiful country.
Oh.
So am I.
Oh. Well, there you go, Martin. That's the advert for you, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you very much.
No, listen, Martin.
You know, it needs to be seen from the outside. I was brought up in these mountains. I don't see them as that beautiful anymore. But if you see them every day,
yeah,
but,
exactly.
Yeah, it's true. It is a beautiful country. But I have to say, I mean, England and Scotland and Ireland, which I have seen, are very beautiful countries. As well,
right there, Martin. So, Martin, I'm awfully sorry, but we've got to say goodbye, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Bye.
See you soon. Take care, everybody. See you next week. Bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International, online on Windows 8 PC, tablets, and Windows phones.